This is 23-year-old Yeardley Love. Yeardley grew up in a very wealthy family. She lived in the best neighborhoods and attended expensive private schools. Family and friends would say that she always lit up every room she walked in, and she was a very humble and caring person. Yeardley had a passion for lacrosse, and when she attended the University of Virginia, she would join their lacrosse team named the Cavaliers. Yeardley spent her days studying her textbooks and practicing lacrosse out on the field. She had a very bright future ahead of her, and when she met a member of the men's lacrosse team named George Hughley, she thought that all of her dreams were coming true. Unfortunately for her, George struggled with alcohol, jealousy, and rage, and he did not like being told no.
Let's kind of start. I'm going to kind of ask you some questions, and like I said, we'll explain things a little bit later. Tell me about your day yesterday.
Played golf with our parents. I went to dinner with my dad and my two buddies.
Where was that? We're joking.
I went to CNO.
Okay.
And then went home, went to the bar for like a little while.
And what time did you go out to eat?
The golf event had to ended at 5-ish, so we were probably back at, that was probably 7:30 with dinner.
Okay.
And then went home, drank a few beers, I went to the bar for a little while, Boyle Heights.
Wow, okay.
Just like Yeardley, George grew up in a life of privilege. Even as a child, he had the best of everything. He played football in high school, then joined the men's lacrosse team at the University of Virginia. From first impression, George seemed to be the all-American jock type who had a very bright future ahead of him. He would meet Yeardley during their freshman year, and for the next couple years, they would become inseparable.
She was already freaking out. You can't come in, And I was like, just trying to talk to you. And she started being getting defensive against it, because the week before she came into my apartment and attacked and started striking me, and I was like, all right, you gotta leave, and had my roommate's girlfriend finally be like, all right, you take her out of there because of this. So when I went in to talk to her, because we've been away. When I talked to her, she was already on the defensive edge, and I was like, listen, I'm not here to I'm just here to talk to you. And she got all sat up, her bed's against the wall, if it was in this corner, she was up against the wall, and I was we were sitting there talking, and she started being getting aggressive after this. And so I was all right, chill out, and shook her a little bit, and she started being freaking out, and I was listen, I'm not here to do anything, I'm here to talk to you about everything that's ensued in the past week. And she was started hitting her head, stop, she's in the corner, I was sitting on the bed, I was stop, and I was Yeardley, what the hell, we were just gonna talk, and it was not at all a good conversation, because that's she was already freaking out with just even seeing me there.
George struggled with alcohol addiction. When he would drink, he would become extremely angry and aggressive. He had been arrested once for underage possession of alcohol and once for a public drunk and disorderly. George was also a very jealous boyfriend. During one occasion, a fellow lacrosse player walked Yeardley home from a bar to make sure she arrived safe and sound. When George found out, he assaulted him and told him to never do that again.
Okay. So what happened next?
What happened next, and she just kept hitting her head against the wall while she was sitting on the bed, and I was like, and I grabbed her and I shook her, I was like, stop, we need to, and looked at her, I was like, we need to, talk about this, and I was on holding her arms and stuff, but I never struck her, I never, hit her, hit her like in the face or anything. I was just like, we need to talk. And she was so like, oh, I mean, what's the word? Like, you know, like flopping a fish out of the water, like so like all this, all because of what happened last week. And I was like, listen, like, I'm not here to like fight with you or like do anything, like here to talk to you. And like, and she was like, no, like get away from me, all this like, and that's what happened. And like, I laughed, like she was in her bed. I think her nose was bleeding a little bit, but she was in her, like when I left, she was like still in her bed. Like, and then she may have, at one point she got on the floor and we were talking about it. We were like, and she was still like fighting. Actually, no, she went over to her desk, where the desk is, and she was like, you have to leave, like all this stuff. And I was like, all right, like fine, like, but like, I want to talk to you after all this. And like, I was like a little bit persistent because of the situation, you know, my former girlfriend who, something happened last week, you know. And I was like, all right, like, well, so we were like talking over there. And
George's behavior would begin to affect his relationship with Yeardley. A once happy and carefree relationship began to turn very toxic. The couple would argue constantly about the most trivial things. These arguments would escalate quickly, and George would begin to physically assault Yeardley during these fights. Another lacrosse player would testify that one day he heard Yeardley yelling for someone to help her. After hearing her cries, he would find her with George's hands firmly around her throat. Yeardley's mother would beg her to leave George and file a restraining order, but she would not listen. She knew that George only acted this way when he was drinking, so she stayed, hoping that one day he would become sober.
I mean, somehow I was resting her on the floor, and I was just like, stop, I just, like, and I was holding her, but I never struck her or anything, and I think that might have been when her nose started to bleed, actually. It was when I was holding her on the floor, being like, listen, like, you came and attacked me. Like, I wanted to talk to her about, you know, everything, because I got on, like, whatever, like, text messages, to, like, from her and all this stuff. And so that's when I was, like, holding her, but not forcefully. And then, you know, then I guess that's when her nose might have started to bleed, was when, like, it rolled like that. Like, her face on the ground, and her nose started bleeding, and then...
Let's kind of start from... You keep talking about something that happened last week. What happened last week?
What happened last week?
You said kind of set up the...
That's why I was going over there to talk to her.
But yeah, what happened last week?
What happened last week? Let's start there.
Last week?
Mm-hmm.
It was May 2nd of 2010, and George's lacrosse team had made it into the championship round. George spent the entire day drinking heavily to celebrate their victory, and he continued drinking late into the night. Yeardley had spent the day drinking as well and socializing with friends, and she decided to call it a day and wanted to go to bed. Her roommates wanted to continue drinking late into the night, so they left Yeardley alone so she could sleep. Around 11:15 that night, George walked over to her apartment because he wanted to talk to her. After he arrived, neighbors would say that they heard yelling, banging, and then nothing.
Start with that last week. Did y'all break up last week?
We broke up like a month ago, but it had been like talking and like, you know, hanging out and stuff.
What'd you break up for?
Because we broke up because she wanted to, but like, was because she wasn't really sure about all this, because we're both like graduating. You know, and she wants to move to New York, and I want to move, like, to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, we don't really know. And she was like, you know, sort of unsure about all of this. So we broke, so she was like, sort of like, broke it off, like, slightly over, like, you know, a period of time. Like, all right, well, like, we shouldn't hang out anymore, da da. But we're still hanging out and everything. And then, come a week ago, she went down to Carolina and like I don't know what happened there, but she told me what happened, which was like, which was that Wednesday night. She sends me a text message like, Bo, I'm so glad, like, I'm so glad, like, I fucked so-and-so, you know? And so I didn't even respond to that. I was like, whatever, like.
She said she fucked somebody? Is that what you just said?
Hooked up, fucked, like, same thing. So I didn't even respond to that. Those were, like, text messages.
Yeardley's roommates would arrive home a few hours later, and they would find her unresponsive in her room. They called 911 and reported that they believed Yeardley had an alcohol overdose. The police would arrive and examine the body. They found serious injuries that included large bruising around the right side of the face and an eye that was swollen shut. It wouldn't take the police very long to name George as a suspect, and he would be brought in for questioning.
And she walks in the door, opens the door, and comes over and just starts hitting me in the face. And I, like, got up and I was like, stop, like, you know, like, get off of me, like, leave me alone, like you can't, like, do this, you can't just, like, start doing this, like, and then I had basically had my roommate's girlfriend, who's his friends with my girlfriend, I was like, yo, Liz, like, calling from her from the kitchen, like, get her out of here, like, never, like, touched her, never struck her, I was just like, listen, like, you have to, like, stop hitting me. And she wouldn't stop, and she kept coming. So that happened. So I was going over there to talk to her last night on Sunday, and that was the reason why I was going over there to talk to her. And I never, like, hit her, never struck her, never, and nothing happened.
All right.
George has confessed to going to Yeardley's the night before, but only to talk and nothing more. He has also explained why he went over there by saying that Yeardley had entered his apartment and attacked him, and he wanted to talk to her about it. George doesn't know that Yeardley is dead, and the detective has no intention of telling him just yet. She needs more information explaining exactly what he did while he was there.
So you go over there, knock on the door.
Her front door is open. Mm-hmm. Her room door was closed. I knocked, like, are they, like, she heard me, opened the door, and went in.
All right. Went in where?
To her room.
All right. Straight to her bedroom?
Straight to her bedroom, yeah. I mean.
How'd you get through the door?
Her door or the front door?
Her door.
Actually, it might have been locked.
Mm-hmm. It was.
It was locked. Yeah, because I think I put a hole.
Yeah, you punched a hole through the door.
Pretty sure, actually. Now, yeah, that you said that, yeah.
All right. Why'd you do that?
Because I wouldn't talk to her because she's been sending me like emails.
Was she
like,
telling you to leave emails. Or?
Well, I guess. Yeah, once I was in her room. She was, like, very, like, you know, like, hardly, like, I don't want to talk to you, like, all this stuff.
The crime scene shows that someone had forced their way into Yeardley's room and then assaulted her, but there is no evidence that George was the one who did it, at least until now. The detective asks George how did he get into the room if the door was locked, and George explains that he forced his way into the room. This confession makes George their prime suspect. They ask George a question that confirms he was in Yeardley's room the night before.
Like, you know,
what was she wearing?
What was she wearing? I think she was in her bed. She was in her underwear and t-shirt.
Okay. All right, so you get in there. She's in her. I'm not saying you do that. I'm just trying to pick her up.
Yeah, no, I understand,
okay.
But like.
All right, so she's in her bed, t-shirt, and underwear, you say?
Yeah.
Okay. Light on, light off.
Light off. I'm pretty sure she was like, this was like around probably, I want to say like 12:45-ish.
Okay.
So she was like either asleep or like, you know, doing something. And so I went in there to talk to her and she was very like, you know, very on edge. Like, I don't want to talk. Like, I don't want to talk. Like, you know.
Okay.
I was like, listen, like, what you pulled last week was outrageous. Like, I just want to talk to you. And
why'd you punch the door then?
Because because I wanted to talk to her.
They ask George why he broke through the door to get into the room, and George's response is almost comical. He says the reason that he went into Yardley's home after midnight and broke down her door, even though she told him to leave, was because he wanted to talk to her. George lived a life where he got everything he wanted, and he was never told no. He justifies breaking into the home by saying that it was because he wanted something.
All right, well, continue on. That's fine. Continue on. So you're talking to her and she doesn't want to talk to you?
Not really. I mean, we talked, though. Like, there was parts where we were talking and then, like...
Do you know what you're talking about?
I mean, about so many different things.
Okay. Like what?
Like what she did last week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, went to, like, Carolina, how she attacked me,
mm-hmm.
you know. Like, she went to Carolina and hooked up with someone Sunday when we were still trying to figure out things, came over, attacked me on Tuesday,
okay.
you know, and I'm just sitting, like, and I was over there, like, to talk, like, I was like, this is outrageous. Like, I mean, and because I was trying to make everything better, and then, like, you know, and then all of this happens, and then she comes in and attacks me, and I'm like, and to the point where my roommate's girlfriend has to, like, take her out of there.
Okay. So, let's go back to you were in her room tonight.
Yeah, last night.
Last night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so she's, like, in the corner, if her bed's, like, if her bed would push all the way back, like, in the corner, like, you know, like, and she, and I'm pretty sure that she was very defensive because she knew, like, how upset I was because I've told her, like, through emails, like, how upset I was, like, about what she did and about Tuesday night for, like, coming in and starting to strike me. And so I was like, and I sat on the edge of her bed. I was like, listen, like, I want to talk to you. Like what you did was bullshit. Like, that's not, like, okay. Like,
so you're pretty upset, pretty angry.
Yeah, I was more, like, emotional than I would say angry.
Okay. You're hurting.
And I was just, like, she was, like, not, like, you know, she's, like, you know, sort of pushing everything that she did to the back burner and, like, talking about, like, you know, like, trying to, like, put everything that she did, like, wasn't important, and like, you know, we talked, and she, like, kept getting, like, and she kept saying things like, oh, well, like, you know, like, I mean, what was she saying? Stuff like, oh, like, I don't trust you, like, or stuff like that. And I was, and, like, and it kept going to the point where she, like, I was like, listen, like, you're, like, we have to figure, like, out what's going on. And she was like, I'm not talking to you. And then she, like, pushed me, like, get out of here. Like, go. And I was like, no. And, like, I was like, be like, we have to talk. Like, so, like, get, like.
When you're doing that, what are you holding on her?
George explains after everything that had happened between him and Yardley, all he wanted to do was talk to her. He goes on to say that for some reason, after he broke into her apartment at 12:45 in the morning, she did not want to talk to him. He says it like there was something wrong with Yardley for not wanting to speak with him because he wanted to talk to her and he usually gets what he wants. While George explains this, he uses arm gestures that the detective sees and she begins asking questions about it.
On her arms.
On her arms, like maybe up here?
Like shoulders, yeah.
Shoulders?
Like, okay. Yeah, like... Never, like, you know, I mean, if I could, like, show you.
I'm sorry. Upper arms.
Like, come on, like, you know, and she, that's when she would, like, wiggle and, like, get away and, like, you know, like, hide in the, get in the corner, like, really, like, aggressive, like, defensively almost. And then we, like, wrestled on the ground the same way. Her nose started bleeding. And then I think she was back in bed and I left. I was like, this is not going anywhere.
How'd she get back in bed?
We were like wrestling and we stood up and I pushed her onto the bed. I was like, go to bed. Like, I'll talk to you later. I'm like, we didn't like throw her, but like mm-hmm. we were like standing up at this point after we rested on the ground. She had like a bloody nose. Mm-hmm. And I was like, go to bed.
Okay. And you kind of tossed her on the bed and you left.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you go back and check on her at any point?
No, I did not.
Okay. Did you touch her neck area at all? Did you choke her at one point?
The detective needs to gather as much evidence as possible to prove that George's actions were the direct cause of Yeardley's death. George still has no idea Yeardley is dead, and he believes he is there on a domestic violence charge. If he did know, there is a good chance he would have asked for a lawyer. The detective will now ask more questions to help explain all of Yeardley's injuries.
I may have grabbed her a little bit by the neck mm-hmm. when we were like... But I never, like, strangled her.
Okay.
But I, yeah, I mean, during the whole, like, commotion, you know, like, I might have grabbed her neck, but I never was, like, strangling her.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go check on something really quick. When you left her apartment, did you take anything with you?
No,
nothing
she's
at all.
In her bed.
All right. Because I think we're not. Her laptop is missing. I guess. Did you grab it for any reason?
Yeah, I did actually.
You did. Okay. Is it at your apartment?
Yeah, okay. Somewhere in my apartment. I can
okay.
give it to her.
Why'd you grab her laptop?
Because I was so pissed that she wouldn't talk to me. I was like, I don't know. I like took it almost as like collateral, I guess. I don't know. It's not reasonable logic, but
right. Okay.
I don't know.
Did you take anything else besides
no,
the laptop?
No.
Nothing.
No.
Okay.
I mean.
All right. So when
the detective asks George if he took anything from the apartment, and he says no, as if he actually believes he did not take anything. He is then reminded about a laptop, and he immediately admits to taking it. This shows that George was very intoxicated, to the point where he does not remember certain things about the interaction. With that in mind, the detective continues asking questions, doing her best to jog his memory.
When you left out of there, I mean, you saw that she was bleeding on her nose. Did you try to call rescue or anything to make sure she's all right?
No, I did not.
Why?
I didn't think it was like... I didn't think that she was, like, in need of, like, going to the emergency room.
What do you think that?
I don't know. I mean,
Did you say when you were, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you were shaking her head was hitting the wall?
Well, that was in the beginning. That was initially when I walked in, like, she was, like, up in the corner, like, saying, get out of here, like, you know, like this.
Mm-hmm. Like, at any time when you were shaking her, did her head bang the wall? Did you like shake her into the wall? I know you already said you didn't punch her and stuff.
I wasn't throwing her into the wall. Like, I mean, we were sitting on her bed, which is against the wall, and I was mm-hmm. I wasn't hitting her against the wall, but like when she's like sitting there in the corner mm-hmm. of like if it were like, or like this, and I'm like, you're already like, you know, and I was like what the fuck was that about? Like that's such bullshit that you like do that, like, you know, I mean, possibly. I was like, you know, that's such a like bullshit move, like what like, you know, like ever like hitting her, like what are you like doing? Like that, like
okay. She has a pretty good knot on her head. That's why I'm asking how you can explain how that would have happened.
I mean, I don't even know when that a knot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
like on the side of her head, she's been hit pretty good right there. So I'm just trying to figure out: did you hit her with something?
No,
was that
no,
her
I never,
head into the
I never,
wall?
Never touched her, or struck her, or anything.
Well, you touched her. You had your hands on.
I said never struck her.
Okay.
Never at all. Like.
Well, I'm trying to figure out why she's got a black eye and why she's got a big lump right there.
I mean, we were, I mean, I don't
know. So you never hit her
with anything? I don't know.
Is that what you're saying? You never hit her?
Yeah, I don't know how.
With anything?
So she's got them.
So, okay. All right, no, that's fine. All right. So you I'm gonna go through this one more time, make sure we're on the same page. So you're pretty pissed at her from a week ago for sending you those text messages. Do you have those text messages where she says she, as you put it, fucked somebody?
I actually might have those, yeah.
All right, you got your phone with you?
Yeah.
And let's pull it out and scroll through it. Let's see if we can see those.
Motive is very important in these types of cases. Establishing a reason why a person commits a crime is a key piece of evidence. The detective asks George if he still has the text messages on his phone from Yeardley, where she tells him she had sex with another man. George begins to pull out his phone, and the detective immediately moves her chair next to his, so that way he cannot delete anything on his phone.
This is...
We didn't say
what? They were like, I guess what you call like a... one of these. Mm-hmm. Which is... like an ongoing conversation, an ongoing like instant message, and it's gone.
Okay.
I'll
need that one. They don't leave that right in front of them.
All right. I mean, I can show you the emails that say she hooked up with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not lying about that.
Did you have a home computer, laptop?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that where all the emails are? I mean, does can you get to them on that?
Actually, they're deleted off here. I can get to them though.
Okay. All right. That's fine for now. So last week. Y'all kind of broke up a while back. It's kind of been, you're still been talking.
Yeah,
last week, she gets pissed. You get pissed because she sends you a text. So last night, you go over there wanting to talk. Let's talk about how you
entered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Because to have put your fist through the door.
No, it's actually my leg, I'm pretty sure.
Your leg?
Because that's why my legs like this.
Yeah, you're right. That was your leg.
Yeah.
How'd you get all the bruising on your hand then?
This is all from lacrosse. This is all...
That's pretty fresh right there, looks.
This is all from my lacrosse game on Saturday.
Saturday.
I mean, I wear my arm, but you can see where my arm pads are.
Mm-hmm.
Right here, my gloves right here, and that's...
Even right there? I thought you wore those padded gloves.
This is all...
Lacrosse.
This is all the difference. This is all from lacrosse. 100%. This is where my arm pads are, and my glove goes to here. This is all tanner because that's where it gets sun compared to where my legs, like, the difference in color.
Yeah.
And that's, I got whacked here, I remember, 100%, got whacked during the game when I was trying to, kill the clock.
Mm-hmm. When you had her and you're shaking, did she scratch you anywhere?
No.
No?
No.
She's a little girl. She's tiny.
Yeah, she did not know. She didn't
try to hit you or anything like that?
No.
Okay. So you kick in the door.
Yeah, that's how I entered. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I stuck my hand through and unlocked it and went in there. And everything else is with you.
For the next 20 minutes, the detectives talk with George about what happened that night. George tells them that he has told them everything he remembers, and he continues to say that all he wanted was to talk to her. The detectives realize they will not be getting any more information from him, so they decide it's time to let him know the truth.
Well, I have to tell you something.
Well, I think I know why you took the computer.
Yeah, why, do you think?
Is that right? Go ahead. She's dead. You killed her, George. Killed her.
She's dead.
I think you knew that already.
No, I did not. She's dead. How the fuck is she dead?
Because you killed her, George.
How the fuck is she dead?
Because you killed her.
Oh my God.
We're not here for any reason, George.
She's dead?
Yes.
She's dead?
Yes.
She's dead?
She's dead.
How?
I already told you how. You already told us how as well.
How is she dead?
You just told us.
How is she dead? How is she dead? I didn't strangle. I didn't do. I didn't fucking hit her. How the fuck is she dead? I don't even know. I don't. She's dead.
Yes.
How the fuck is she dead? Oh my God.
We're serious, George. That's why you took the computer, isn't it?
No.
Because you had threats to kill her on that from a past email. Because she hooked up with a player from UNC.
I never said that, that was just like the heat of the moment. Yeah.
Last night was heat of the moment too, wasn't it? You went in there to talk with her, but it got out of control, right, George? The alcohol got a hold of you. You kicked in her door. She started to fight with you. You punched her in the head, or you
cracked. She's not dead.
You cracked
She's
her head.
Dead.
You
She's
cracked her head
dead.
In the window or in the
She's
wall.
Not dead.
She is.
She's not dead.
I ain't BSing you right now. It's serious.
I want to see her.
George, look at me.
George.
She is dead.
You are not here to dance with us. You're here because she's dead. The alcohol.
I don't believe it.
It's true.
Dude, I didn't hurt
George,
her.
Listen to me.
I didn't hurt her.
Listen to me. You probably didn't mean to hurt her.
I didn't hurt her.
You went in there, you kicked the door, she got a little feisty. You either punched her or you smacked her head into the concrete, and then you held her down. On the pillow, because that's what
no,
you
did. No, I didn't hit her on the pillow. I've never owned the bed.
Okay.
I never held her down. I never suffocated. I never did anything. I don't believe that she's dead.
I don't believe that she's dead. Did you punch her? Did you hit her?
There's no way she's dead. She's not dead. I never did anything like this, that she could be dead.
Listen to me.
She's not dead.
Did you punch her? Or did
no,
you,
I never, no.
Did you hold her head into the wall? Did you crack it?
No. Is her head cracked?
Did you smack her head in the wall?
No. She's not dead. You guys said she has a black eye and a bump on her head.
She has those things.
But she's not dead. I did not.
All right. Let's calm down.
I did not hurt her. Like she's not dead.
Calm down, George. Okay.
Tell me she's not dead.
I want you to calm down right now. Okay.
Right. I don't believe it. I never did anything that could do that to her.
Well, let's calm down.
I never did anything that could do that to her. I swear to God, I never did anything that could do that to her. I refuse to believe that she's dead because there's no way that anything that happened last night could kill her.
George would be convicted of second-degree murder and receive 23 years in prison. His charge was based on the fact that he did not intend to kill her, and his reaction to hearing her death was genuine shock. His lawyers tried to have the charges reduced to manslaughter, but because George acted with malice, they would remain at second-degree murder. For now, George sits in a prison waiting to be released in the year 2033.
Just out of protocol, what we gotta do is stand up for me, George. Okay, put your hands behind your back, turn around.
Relax.
You'll be all right.
Tell me she's not dead, though. Please. Will you tell me she's not dead?
Relax.
Please. Will you tell me
she's not dead? You know what? I wish I could tell you that, George. 22-year-old. 22. And her life is done.
Oh, my God. Kill me.
She can't be dead.
She's not. I cannot do anything like that. I did not do anything that could have killed her.
You do realize you're under arrest.
I realize that.
All right, we're going to consult the Commonwealth Attorney on the proper charge, but it's going to be related to her death. Make sure you understand.
She's dead. Okay. She's my... Hell, there's no way. Oh, my God, there's no way she could be dead. There's no way. Oh, my God. There's no way. kid, I'll be dead. You're not lying to me either, are you? You're not lying. She's dead? Oh my God.
No, it didn't.
And what happened?
I did not kill her.
Did you maybe smack her head one time too hard?
I never hit, no. I mean, and then maybe I'll regret, no.
Did you smack her head, maybe lay her on the bed so she could kind of relax?
No.
Come on, you didn't punch her because, you know, I don't think you would have done that.
No.